This is the Todd Wright Toddcast. Thank you very much for listening, and the Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group. They play in every Todd Wright Tour golf tournament, including the upcoming Todd Wright Tour 30, which is our Masters-themed event in early April. If you want golf information, please email me directly at toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. And if you play in one of my golf tournaments, I'm happy to introduce you to the Brandon Legal Group team. Good people. Perhaps meeting them will make you more comfortable when you are in need of legal assistance of a full-service law firm. And that, of course, includes divorce or family law. Brandon Legal Group is also working on some tournament gifts for this event. They supply either tournament gifts or gift baskets for most Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments. And they are not only a full-service law firm, but despite their home office being in Brandon, they do service the greater Tampa Bay area. Easy to get a free consult. You go to brandonlegalgroup.com and simply click on the box that says request a free consultation. If you'd rather actually speak to a representative at Brandon Legal Group, you can call 844-4-BLG-4ME, 844-4-BLG-4ME. That's Brandon Legal Group. Thank you, Papa John's of Tampa Bay, for your upcoming support of Todd Wright Tour XXX. There will be Papadillas supplied by Papa John's of Tampa Bay, and those very coveted pizza prize packs are given away at virtually every tournament. It is five large pizzas. You can custom build them, specialty pizzas. All five can be the same. All five can be different. There's also some Pepsi products included in that. It is a real good prize. Papa John's of Tampa Bay is locally owned and operated and has been supporting Todd Wright Tour golf tournament since the beginning. And they were the first ever sponsor of my first ever podcast. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast was presented by Papa John's of Tampa Bay. And we're going on year six of the Fantasy Podcast later this year. Thank you, Mike Lentz. Thank you, Denny Gray. Thank you, Papa John's of Tampa Bay. Little Dr. Seuss in there, huh? Email for podcast purposes specific to this one, the non-fantasy podcast, is write.todd@yahoo.com. If you have a fantasy question, even though the Fantasy Podcast is on hiatus until July, you can send fantasy questions to toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. See what I do there? Different emails for different purposes, so I know exactly what you're talking about when you write. Social media, at ToddWright2020 on Instagram, at ToddWright2020 on Twitter, or friend me on Facebook with the caveat, don't ever ask me to like an additional page. We will have a hard time staying friends. Accepting that caveat, send your friend request to Todd Wright in Tampa, Florida. Recording this on a Tuesday morning, just before 12 noon first. The PGA Tour annually stops at a very revered golf course at the Innisbrook Resort, where I actually hosted the Todd Wright Tour Championship in 2020. I like to think that there was no interruption in big events on the Copperhead course. Despite the pandemic canceling the Valspar Championship, the pandemic did not stop the Todd Wright Tour Championship from being held there in 2020. I played it again yesterday with two wonderful colleagues, and Dave Wirth and Drew Garabo. Met and ran into a number of other people, including Todd Callis. That photo is on my social media. Now the voice of the Houston Astros and my fantasy golf league nemesis. Thank you to the Innisbrook Resort, the Valspar Championship, Tracy West, the tournament director, Rick Odioso, and of course Dave Wirth and Drew Garabo for the excellent company. Despite the fact that I missed nine birdie putts on that course, I had nine shots at birdie of the 18 holes and got better as I went along. They got shorter and I missed them all. As I said to Drew as we were leaving, that was the worst best round I've shot there in a long time. But again, the Valspar Championship is in late April, early May. a unique date for that event if you're in the Tampa Bay area. It will be a ticketed event for spectators, and you can go online, just Google Valspar Championship tickets to find out more information on the limited capacity tickets, and that does include the Hooters Owl's Nest as well. Hooters, a continuing sponsor of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. So let's talk to Sean Watson, and I'm going to get to why today I want to talk to about Deshaun Watson, but let's look at his contract, right? You've been made fully aware, and nothing has changed in a while, that Watson wants out of the Houston Texans. Nothing has changed there. Let's look at the contract. Watson is under contract for 5 more years. The guaranteed money in that contract is just under $48 million. The base salary is guaranteed in 2021. The base salary is guaranteed in 2022. 10.5 in 2021. 35 in 2022. That's it. There's no more guaranteed salary on Watson's deal after 2022. It is 3 years with a lot of zeros, which means a team can walk away from him, or at that point, probably after 2023, Watson, if he's doing well, is going to look to an extension, especially after 2024. The last year of the deal has no prorated bonus on it. It is a $32 million base salary with zero prorated bonus, roster bonus, guaranteed salary. So if you want, Watson can easily come off your books in the last year of the deal and save you $32 million against the cap. But the guaranteed money is done after the next 2 years. So that's the Watson deal. Now, I want to bring something up here because I think it's important for purposes of this podcast with what I'm going to talk about. If the Texans trade Deshaun Watson before June 1st of this year, so within the next 3 months, and you say, well, of course they will. Well, hold on. I know we have the draft, but just hear me out. If they trade Deshaun Watson before June 1st, the dead money is over $21 million to the Texans. Just gone. Dead money against your cap. The cap savings is non-existent. It's actually a negative of over 5.5. So rather than saving money against the cap, you're still having money count against the cap, even though he's not your player. So a pre-June 1 trade hurts the Texans to the tune of $21.6 million in dead money and doesn't save them anything against the cap. It actually still hurts them against the cap. All right, if they trade him post-June 1st, the cap savings is $10.5 million. That's his guaranteed base salary. So that goes away. There are cap savings there if the deal is done post-June 1st. The dead money drops by 75%. I told you that the dead money was over $21 million if they trade him before June 1st. If they trade him after June 1st, the dead money is under $5.5 million. So if Houston can, from an economic standpoint, now, if they get knocked over with an offer, multiple draft picks, Pro Bowl players, I guess that could offset where it leaves them cap-wise pre-June 1st. If the Texans can agree to a deal involving Deshaun Watson and wait until after June 1st, and at this point, we really don't have anything to go on that there's going to be in-person workouts for veteran players, maybe even rookies, based on the pandemic. I think teams are just hopeful they have kind of a normal training camp at this point. So if you can agree on the structure of a deal, but not make it official until post June 1st, it benefits the Texans significantly from a cap standpoint. All right, so that's the deal with Deshaun Watson. So if you're Deshaun Watson, why wouldn't you want to go to Arizona? Your top receiver, which may have been a big part of why you don't want to play for Houston again, was traded to Arizona a year ago. And the man of the year player you really can't say a bad thing about on the defensive side of the ball, who apologized to you at the end of the season, feeling he let you down representing the team, just decided to go to Arizona as well in J.J. Watt. So if you're Deshaun Watson, why wouldn't you be open to being traded to the Arizona Cardinals? It makes a lot of sense to me. Now, I know the first thing you're saying, they already have a quarterback. Yeah, they do. Is Murray better than Watson? I say no. You say, well, Murray's only had 2 years. All right. Watson's only 2 years older than Murray. It's essentially a push. Murray clearly had some physical problems. I'm sure he can overcome them and be 100% to start the next season. But the Arizona Cardinals, who started 6-3 last year, finished 2-5, and while they improved from Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury's first season of 5-10-1, they finished 8-8 and missed out on the last playoff spot based on tiebreakers with the Chicago Bears. Let's look at Kyler Murray's rookie contract. He has 2 years left on that deal, and obviously there's a team option for a fifth year because of the nature of him being a first-round draft pick. But just looking at the remaining 2 years, they basically control him for the next three. The money in the fifth year is not officially on the books. So in 2021, Murray's cap number is just under $10 million. In 2022, Murray's cap number is just over $11 million. Now let's go back to Watson. Watson's cap number in 2021 is just under $16 million. So yes, it's an increase. Watson's cap number explodes to $40 million in 2022. But that's another season down the road where you could prepare for that. It's not much different next year. Then it really goes up the year after that. But where the Cardinals will have to make a decision on Murray in 2 years, Watson is still under contract for 3 more years. And there's flexibility there because there's no guaranteed money in the deal. There's no guaranteed salary in the deal in 2023, 2024, 2025. You could almost argue, even though there'd be some dead money involved in 2023, your options are better after the 2022 season with Watson than they are with Murray, because the numbers are there. As long as you're willing to take the $40 million hit in 2022, after that, you have options. Now, granted, if you don't do anything with Watson in 2023, he's going to make $42.4 million. He has a $17 million roster bonus in 2023. But the point being is, if you acquire Watson now, you control him for the next 5 seasons, but you have the flexibility to get out of that anytime after 2, and it's not that awful. $10 million in dead money 2023, $5 million in dead money 2024, nothing in dead money in 2025. You don't know what the market's going to dictate on Kyler Murray, and are you worried that you're going to be in a position here in a year or two with Kyler Murray where you have to overpay him market value to keep him? The same way the Rams paid Goff, the same way the Eagles paid Wentz, the same way Jerry Jones, at least last year, didn't want to pay Dak Prescott. There's guesswork there. So if the Cardinals did offer Kyler Murray back in a deal involving Deshaun Watson, and they agree to wait to make the trade official until post June 1, the dead money to the Cardinals is essentially the same as the dead money to the Texans. It's basically a push. If they traded Murray before June 1st, it's over double that, almost $12 million. But it would make sense. You cut your dead money in half. Your cap savings is about $4 million. If you traded him before June 1st, he still counts $2 million against the cap. Now, granted, Murray can play under his current contract in 2022 for a cap number of $11 million, which is about one-fourth what Deshaun Watson's cap number is. But after that, where are you going with this? How much are you going to have to pay Kyler Murray? Are you going to have to invest in a quarterback who hasn't gotten you to a Super Bowl, assuming he hasn't, or a conference championship game, and what does the impact of recent Wentz and Goff deals tell you about whether or not you want to do this? Where with Watson, it's all there. He's under contract for the next 5 years. Sure, he might want something new after the next 3 or 4. And I guess you could say, if he accepts a trade to you, would he ask for some? I don't think Watson would say to the Cardinals, okay, I'll agree to come to you, but you have to guarantee me that year in 2023. He could do that. I don't think he would. I'm just speculating here. I have nothing to go on that Arizona would do this. However, I don't see why they wouldn't consider it. Much as I talked in the previous podcast about how much I like Dak Prescott, Russell Wilson to me is a better quarterback than Dak Prescott. Deshaun Watson is a better quarterback to me than Dak Prescott. So if the Cowboys were to bring in one of those two guys, I would understand it. As I also said in a podcast a couple weeks ago, these teams getting out from under these huge deals where it was like, well, we have to sign them to market value because then we're without a quarterback. And the combination of Tom Brady coming in his first year, and I know Tom Brady's not human, he's an alien, but it changed everything. Teams now look at, they want to avoid having to keep a quarterback and pay him market value, and they see you can bring in a quarterback and instantly be a Super Bowl contender. The Cardinals already have Hopkins. Now they have J.J. Watt. Why wouldn't they want Deshaun Watson? In so many ways, he's an upgrade over Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray also, as disappointed as I'm sure he would essentially be going home. He's from Texas. Granted, he played at Oklahoma, but he's from Texas. And sure, he played closer to Dallas, but Houston is a few hours down the road. I don't know his personal feelings for the city of Houston. It's irrelevant here. He would have no say in this. And Houston would be getting a quarterback in return that I claim is much further along with Tua Tagovailoa, which has long been talked about as a possible destination for Watson. Let's put it this way, for Watson. Let's put it this way. If you're Houston, and for Deshaun Watson, you can get back Tua Tagovailoa, Sam Darnold, or Kyler Murray, which one do you want? You want Murray, don't you? I think you do. He's done more than the other two have. Now, it couldn't be straight up, obviously. There'd have to be draft picks there. Arizona's first round pick is the 16th pick overall. Murray and the 16th pick would not be enough. Arizona does have a need in the secondary to complement Buda Baker. They're likely to lose Kenyon Drake, so they'd be looking to upgrade at the running back position, which they can likely do for less money than I saw it, like an $8 million number on Drake. At this point, play along with me. If basically Hopkins, Watt, and Watson are getting the band back together that went to playoff games regularly in Houston, if you're a potential free agent from the Cardinals or you're a free agent somewhere else, why wouldn't you take a little less to go there to play with those guys who have playoff experience? And granted, the coach is different, but that seems to be a good thing with Cliff Kingsbury. Now, he hasn't gotten there yet, but at this point, I think Cliff's getting the benefit of the doubt as that offensive mind, modern thinker. You don't hear about any problems in the room in Arizona. Some of his ideas have been laughed at. Cell phone breaks, whether they did or didn't do it, there weren't any problems. All I wanted to bring up in this podcast is don't be surprised if you hear about a potential deal of Watson to Arizona. Don't immediately say no to it because they have Kyler Murray. That's not enough of a reason why Arizona wouldn't do this. And because Hopkins and Watt are there and Kingsbury is there, I don't see why Deshaun Watson wouldn't want it as well. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group and Papa John's of Tampa Bay, locally owned and operated since the early 1990s. Remember, my email for this podcast is right.todd@yahoo.com. If you want golf information on how to play in Todd Wright Tour XXX on April 3rd or future golf tournament information, my events are open to the public. All ages, all skill levels, male, female, and our events are extremely unique. April 3rd is our next one here in the Tampa Bay area. You can email me at toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. Thank you for listening. Talk to you soon.